that were here last week, the handout that showed the my method of budgeting that I use, I just gave you a blank version of that. That's really what I'm using today, is a filled-in version of that. For those that also weren't here last week, I'm going to go over what I did last week, because this is a continuation of that. One thing I will say, though, is that I know Brother Frank has now made all of the handouts available on the internet. We'll probably be adding to those, because he suggested, and I think it's a great suggestion, to have these filled-in versions of the budgets that I'm talking about during the class available online as well. So I'll probably give him copies of that to include on the website at fbbc.com as well. What we did last week is talked about the difference between a monthly budget and a what I term a weekly budget in this case. I showed you the differences, why one I believe is better than the other. You have better control over your finances with a budget like this. Again, this is just the method that I use. This is something that I put together. It's not necessarily the best for you. It does work well for me, but you can do whatever works for you. But I'll show you why I prefer this, and then what I'm going to do is show you this example that we've been using to kind of illustrate the differences in the ways of budgeting and how you go about budgeting and making changes in your financial life. Again, for anybody that hasn't been here, this is the eighth week of the Financial Principles course, and what this is we're talking about budgeting last week and this week, and this will be the last week of it for those of you that have been here, so that'll probably please you. It's a boring subject, I know, but it's actually something to help us get our finances in order and to honor God with what he blesses us with, of course, is one of our goals here. So let me jump in. Anybody that's sitting in the back, if you want to see it, if you can't see it, please, you're welcome to move up closer and take a look at it. Let me describe to you what we did last week as the kind of launching point for this week. I had made up a person, just a generic person, and because I was using myself as an example all throughout this class, I'm a married man, I have four children. What I did was I just picked, because there's people that are different than me, I know that, picked somebody who's single, okay, in this case, single, no kids, and just used that person. And let me describe this person to you again. I did this last week, but let me describe it to you again to get you up to speed. What we did was we created a person who makes $20,000 a year, okay? And then what I did alongside of this is I created a budget that reflects this. That's what's up on the screen, is this budget that reflects this person's life. Okay, this person is a single person living in an apartment. The take-home works out to about $17,000 a year after taxes, okay? I decided that this model would be someone who was paid weekly. This person goes to church and gives $5 every week in the offering, and they're calling that a tithe, and as I've mentioned before, that's not what the Lord calls a tithe, which is why, if you notice at the top of the screen, actually the title for this budget, this file, is actually a sample of a completed budget, Making It But Not God's Way. That's how I titled it, and I remember which one this is. This person has $2,000 in debt on credit cards, but can't get it paid off. This person has started budgeting, that's a good thing, to try and get their life in order financially. The gross weekly income for this person works out to a little over $384 a week. And if you do the math, and I just did it, and believe me, it works out, the net spendable income is $322 a week. If you notice the way this budget works up here, this is the number, this is the take-home pay, after taxes. I said this person is giving $5 a week in a tithe, so their net spendable income, or working income as it says here, is $322 a week, and occasionally I said this person gives $5 to missions, so in weeks that happens it's $317 that week. Okay, so what's in the rest of this budget is that this person has a $50 minimum payment on a credit card, and at an average 18% interest rate, that'll take 4 years to pay off that credit card. That payment, to do this kind of budgeting, you have to know when the payment's due. I just said, well, this person's credit card payment is due the 25th of each month, okay? This person spends $40 a week on groceries. $30 a month on clothing. That's for work clothes, casual clothes, dress clothes, shoes, things like that. Rent is $450 a month, but we also decided that in this budget started in 04. You could pretend it's 06 if you want. It doesn't really matter. But we decided that the rent was going to be going up to $500 a month. Okay. Gas and electric range between $200 and $300 depending on the season. I mean, that's not atypical depending if you have electric or gas in your house for heat and those kind of things. And it varies, of course, in the summer you may not use as much. And that's what this budget does. You'll notice in this budget that the payment for electric and gas goes up and down. $40 a month for a phone, $20 a week for gasoline for the car, oil changes for the car, registration inspection for the car, tolls, and $20 a month for prescriptions, auto insurance of $800 a year paid quarterly. And this person also has a cellular phone that they pay $40 a month for. They go out for pizza or to a restaurant with friends once a week for $15 a week. They have a hobby of collecting stamps. They spend about $15 a month doing that. And I decided this is a generous person, somebody that spends about $300 at Christmas buying gifts for friends and family. And this person looked at their budget and decided they would have enough money to go on vacation to visit a friend in California. What I want to do now, and hopefully you'll be able to see it, is just to show you some of these things and how they decided that, because this is exactly how you would go about budgeting. If you were going to take this and you filled in all of this information for yourself, whatever you're spending on rent or mortgage or electric or gas or gasoline, whatever your payments are, credit cards, car payments, whatever they are, and you filled in the budget for yourself, that's the first step of doing it. Get all your bills together, figure out when they're due, and fill in the blanks here. It doesn't take that long. You can do several years in about an hour. And then what this budget does, hopefully you can see that in the back, is that it figures out, as I mentioned before, it just totals up your income for that week, the total expenses for that week. I separated out expenses versus desires. Remember, I mentioned that last week. And then it figures out, okay, it takes your income, subtracts off your expenses and what you spent on the desires that you had, that you spent money on that week, and figures out basically what you had left over that week. And then the bottom line is really just a running total of your working capital. For example, you can see here this week of October 31st, this person is spending $334.25 more that week than they brought in that week. Okay, but they had $396 left from the last week after they were done paying their bills. Okay, so that's what this bottom line does. And the benefit of that is, as long as that number stays basically in the black, you're doing a decent job of budgeting. Okay, there are weeks when this person is spending more than they're bringing in, but that's okay. They've always got enough here for the most part that they're doing okay. That's why I titled this file, Making It, But Not God's Way. Okay. So what they did, this was again, I started, this was just the last part of 04, and then I carried it on to 05. So here's 05. And then I decided that this person was going to get a 3% raise in January, come January 1. So you'll notice here that this person got a 3% raise, still staying with the same $5 they're giving as a, quote, tithe, and the occasional giving to missions. Everything else I kept the same. And I just said that, okay, I did change the rent, as I mentioned. If you look, don't worry about me flipping around. I'm just trying to show you some things here. All I got to do is be able to find the right thing. You'll see here, you can see $500 a month. I changed the rent payment. I did that and carried that through this year. And then what this person did is said, well, you know, this budget shows that for the most part in 04, if you remember back here, all these numbers are black down here. They're in decent shape. Not saving anything, okay? But not horrible. But there's this problem in early 05 where they run out of money. It actually happens the last week of December and the first 2 weeks in January where they just don't have enough to cover the bills. And that happens to some people that aren't budgeting. And one of the things this budget is going to do, and I'll show you that in a minute, is to help them decide what to do about that. Okay, you can look out in the future and see that there's a problem coming. This person, for example, let's look back at December of 04. They end up the year $40 short, $41 short. Just don't have enough to cover the bills that week. So what does that mean? Maybe they can't go to the grocery store that week. Maybe they can't buy gas for the car that week. Whatever they spend first. And eventually you run out of money and you don't have enough to cover your bills. Well, look what happens though. The first week in January, same thing. Still don't have enough money to cover my bills. Same thing in the second week of January. So 3 weeks in a row, this person doesn't have enough money to cover their bills. This budget can help take care of that, okay? But if you continue to look through this year of 05, you can see pretty much they get back into the black. If you follow that bottom line along, it's always in the black. But come the end of the following year, they're left with 25 cents. That may sound pretty typical to some of you. I mean, that's kind of how some of our finances are, where we're not saving, we're not honoring God, and we always just seem to have enough to get by. Well, without changing much of anything, we can fix that. This person has decided in their life that they want to make some changes. Let me make some observations here, though, that I'll tell you first about this person. I just went through some of the budget real quick there. This person's not an extravagant spender. All the things I listed to you about, you know, what they're spending on clothes, everybody has to buy clothes, and your shoes wear out, and you got to buy gas for your car, and all those things. They're not really an extravagant spender. They even stopped using their credit cards to buy things. That's one of the important things that will make this budget work, is that they had that $2,000 debt, and they stopped spending on the credit card. Okay. They've decided to use this budget to keep track and look ahead. That's a good thing. And I mentioned it, notice that there's weeks that there's more that's spent than comes in, and that's okay. What matters, as you know, is what is your checking account balance? Do you overdraw your checking account? That's what matters, right? The fact that I maybe spent more in a week just means that maybe my rent payment was due that week, okay? So if these numbers here, the weekend summary numbers turn red or negative, that's not the end of the world. What the problem comes in is when those are negative. That means you don't have enough money to cover your bills. Okay, so remember, they're not saving anything. They're not planning for the unexpected. Car breaks down. Something bad happens. Hot water heater dies. This person wouldn't have that happen since they rent. But so anything happens that costs us money. They're not planning ahead for that. And most importantly, they're not honoring God. They're not being a good steward of what He's blessed them with here. Not honoring God because they're not tithing. And if you remember in Malachi chapter 3, what it talks about is robbing God by not giving your tithes and offerings. Okay, so this person's not doing it God's way. Another observation about this person, though, is that this person will never get ahead with this kind of a plan. They're living paycheck to paycheck. This is the average American that's getting along but not really getting anywhere. They're paying their bills and that's it. They end up with 25 cents at the end of the year. This person goes in the hole at Christmas in 04, as I showed you, and starts 05 without enough to pay their bills. I'll make that observation again just to show you something. I'm trying not to pull my cord out of my microphone here. Look in the second week of January here. See the short $65. And the only thing I wanted to show you or say about that was that after this being the third week now that this person doesn't have enough money to pay their bills. Well, what's a typical person do then? Well, I got to go to the grocery store. I've run out of food. Okay, I can go a week or two without going to the grocery store, but I got to have food. Or I still got to go to work. I got to put gas in my tank. What are they going to do? They're going to go to the gas station. They're going to run that credit card into the pump, and they're going to run up more debt. Okay, this is exactly how people get in trouble. Oh, I'm going to be short. My budget shows I'm okay in a few weeks, so I'll just put this on my credit card. Well, you got to pay that off too. So, you know, all you're doing is building up more debt now. That's exactly how people get in trouble and get into thousands of dollars worth of debt on credit cards. So now let's just say that this person did this budgeting. They say, well, I got this problem in January, but if I look ahead to July, you see they were up to, in this section here, in the middle of July, they had several hundred dollars, and you can see it's kind of building over time. Several hundred dollars excess in their budget. So they decided here that they were going to go visit their friend in California. I mentioned that last week. So I put that in here. I put in $300 for airfare and $200 for activities. And they can see, well, look, nothing turned negative here. I still have enough money moving forward. So that's not so bad. Okay. And this person also then used this budget to say, well, look, it starts building up again here to towards the end of the year in September. So I said, well, this person said, you know, I've always wanted to be able to watch all the NASCAR races or all the Sabres games or something, and I could really use DirecTV. So they decided to spend $40 a month on that. I have no idea how much that costs. I don't have it, so I have any idea. But I put $40 a month in there. And looking at this budget, this person says, well, you know what? I'm doing okay. I can make it on this budget. But what aren't they doing, which I already mentioned? They're not honoring God. Right? So now let's make a change. Okay, this person finally decides to get things right financially and decides, you know what? This is what happened in my life. I've told you some of my testimony. Where I was kind of giving to God, I wasn't tithing when I first got saved. When I first learned what tithing was, I said, there's absolutely no way it could happen. This person could very well have said the same thing. Say this person was saved and decided, you know what, I need to honor God with my finances. I need to give God 10% of my gross. I need to tithe because God told me I needed to do that. They could look at this budget and say, there's no way. It wouldn't fit in this budget. Well, it could. And let me show you how. I'm going to switch to the next one here. It'll look very similar. Here's the same budget. Same person, same expenses. Except I've made a few changes here, okay? This person gets the same 3% raise. I'm just starting in 2005 here. Same 3% raise, okay? But what I did first thing, and this is what I believe the Lord means when he says that we should honor him with our first fruits. First thing, you get the paycheck, tithe. So I took, that works out to a little over $396 a week gross, if you figure out what their paycheck would be. So I figured out exactly, and so there's their tithe right there. I would never recommend to anybody, even if you're having financial problems, if you've been giving to the Lord, if you've been this person throwing money in occasionally to help the missions, keep doing that. Don't take that away. The Lord's going to honor you if you honor him. With your finances, I mean, of course. So first thing, right off the bat, I'm going to take the tithe, and this person's going to tithe. But what happens, of course, when you do that, is that bottom line turns a lot negative. But I'm going to make it worse. This person doesn't want to spend, 4 years to pay off their credit card. They want to do it faster, and they want to get rid of that payment and stop using credit cards. So I just figured out how much it would be. Here's their credit card payment. Instead of $50 a month, I upped it to $72.30. That will pay off that credit card in 3 years instead of four. Okay. Again, a little over, not quite $25 more a month. Well, so now this person has a problem because now they're starting the tithe and they're paying more on their credit card, and they've got all this money now that they don't have. If you looked at the bottom of that budget at that time, there's going to be a lot of red there. So something has to change. So I just made some suggestions here. Some part of budgeting, this is the hard part of budgeting, you've got to make changes. You've got to make lifestyle changes to meet your goals. So what I decided was that this person was going to, you know what, they added in that cable TV or that DirecTV. Let's get rid of that. Let's not add it in. Let's just take it back out. So I did. I took it back out. This person I told you had a cellular phone, $40 a month. Doesn't sound like too much, but you realize that's $480 a year. Maybe this person didn't need it, so we just said, you know what, at least for now, can't afford it. Got rid of it. That trip to California to see a friend, can't really afford that if you're going to get yourself straightened out and pay off your credit cards. Maybe in the future you can do that, but can't do that. Now, the other thing, you can't do things in your budget where you completely stop spending all money on anything that is fun, because what you'll do is you'll go right off your budget as soon as you do that. You're gonna start thinking, you know what, I deserve to go out with my friends. You know, that's debatable whether or not you deserve that, but I would recommend that you don't make wholesale changes, like I'm just not going out with my friends. So what I did in this budget was, this person was going out once a week with their friends. Well, let's change it. Let's do it once every other week. Okay? Don't give it up. Just reduce it. Save a little bit of money. That would save $390 a year. And this is one of the harder things. I'll make this change right here. I haven't changed it in the budget yet. What I would recommend this person do, because you see all these negatives down here? Those are the weeks this person can't pay their bills, pay all their bills. And there's still a lot of them, aren't there? even though I've already made the changes I just told you about. But there's one big one, and this is where the other side of this budget comes in. Where this budget calculates how much you're spending on things, you can come over here and look at how much money you're spending. This person spent $240 a year on prescriptions and $720 a month on auto insurance. That was $800. That's another change I made. This person went and took that defensive driving class, which gives you a 10% discount. Okay, so I made that change here too. That's a wise choice. But if you look down here, and the reason I separate out desires versus other expenses is because this is a great way for you to take a look at where you're spending your money that you don't really need to. I mean, you might like to, but you don't need to. And one of the things that really sticks out here that would fix most of these problems is right here. I said this person gives $300, or spends $300 on Christmas gifts a year. Well, imagine doing this. It wouldn't necessarily be easy. But I can imagine most of my friends and family that if I said, look, I'm having some financial trouble right now. I really like to buy you a gift, but I really can't afford it this year. Would it be all right if I just, said a prayer for you or something? I can't buy you a gift. And I don't know most of you that are sitting around here that are going to say, oh, come on, you have to give me a gift. Who's going to do that? Say, look, I'm just having some financial problems. I can't afford to do it. One time, I'm not saying eliminate it. I'm saying one time, we're going to take that out. Okay? So the changes that I've just mentioned are the changes that I've made in here. And look what happens to that bottom line. There's a couple times in here that you'll see that it's negative. There's $47 negative. And by the way, that's not cumulative. So if you fix the biggest number, which in this case is this $168, the rest of them will be fixed. In other words, if you come up with $168 more somewhere, all these problems go away. And a lot of people would say, well, wait a minute, with that kind of budget, you've kind of pared it down quite a bit. There's no way I could do that. Well, wait a second. Listen to this. I've got some other ideas. I told you this person was single, living alone in an apartment, paying now $500 a month. Okay, well, get a two-bedroom apartment and split it with a roommate. You could reduce your rent thousands a year. You could carpool to work. You could save on gas and tolls. You could give up your hobby for a little while if you wanted to. This one was interesting. You could try fasting and praying. Remember I told you this person really needs to come up with another $168 to fix their problems in that year. Try fasting and praying one day a week. $40 a week for food. Divide that by 7 to get how much it costs in a day. That's $5.70 a day, which is $300 a year. I just came up with $168 that this person needed, right? It's not really hard to come up with that money. They could get another part-time job, work some overtime. Maybe they have some assets. Maybe they could sell something that they own. Anyways, there's lots of ways to come up with extra money. And I didn't add it all up here, but basically, I thought I had that. But this person could easily save a little over $4,000 more a year if they really tried. Okay. It's not hard, really. Some of the decisions are hard of the things you want to give up, but it's not really that hard to fix budgets that are like this. One of the things I wanted to mention here, too, was that the problems in early 05, which are these ones here. So I told you the $168 problem is. This is exactly what the Benevolence Fund of the Church is for. If you're a person that is like this, you're really trying, you're honoring God, but you just are a little short here and there, this is what our Benevolence Fund ministry is for. This church can help you through that kind of time. And what I'll show you in here now, as I go forward in years, is that this person has a short-term problem in early 05 that then goes away with the changes that we made. Okay, I put back in future years the Christmas spending. Okay, I put that back in for future. You see what I've done here is I've projected this budget now. Started in 04, we're looking at 05 now. Here's 06, 07, 08. Really simple to project out. But let me show you what happens as we go out in years without even fixing this problem right now. This is the kind of thing where if you came to me and asked for some counsel, and ask me, say, look, I've been trying to do this budgeting thing. I can make it work, but I have this problem in the early part of next year. Is there any way you think the church could help me? And I could take it to some of the men in the church, and we could probably find a way to help you to get through that time. Because what happens here is at the end of 05, you know, we're up to $42, okay? That's better than having 25 cents left at the end of the year. In 06, we're up to $450 left over at the end of the year. In 07, we're up to $825 left at the end of the year. Okay, now what happens is, remember I mentioned this person was up the credit card payment. Now the credit card payment's gone. So we don't have that either. They have $1,000 left at the end of the year. See, it's not really hard to get their finance. And again, this is a person making $20,000 a year. Now you could argue that maybe some of the things that I have in here aren't right on the money with what they cost. I did my best to make it realistic, okay? And everybody's situation is different. But the point is that with a few minor changes in a person's life and without completely giving up the things that they're enjoying, hobbies, going out with friends, you can make a budget work. So this person, if you projected this budget out, what then you see that over the future years, they start having money left over at the end of the year. What I would then do, if I was this person, I would go back in my budget. There's a line in there for savings. I would, okay, I got $1,000 left over. And I could divide that by 12 and maybe save that much a month. Now, that would make that number right there go down, which you say, wait a minute, you don't want that number to go down. Well, actually, you do if it's going into a savings account. Right? Start saving or investing. And then you have all these other ideas that I mentioned. Like I said, getting a roommate or carpooling or giving up the hobby for a little while or doing it half as much, fasting and praying. Other things which you can use to start saving, start paying off your credit cards faster. I mean, now that we have extra money each year, maybe I want to pay off that credit card in 2 instead of 3 years. That would be a wise thing to do. Start applying all that extra money. The other thing I'll mention about this budget, just to show you that it's not unrealistic, I told you I gave this person a raise, a 3% raise in 05. I did this assuming there was no raise in 06, 07, and 08. Which is realistic for some people. So, the point is, with this kind of budgeting, you have some real control over your finances. You can look at things way out in the future. You could look at, for example, what happens to this person. Let's go back to, I'll stay with this budget. Let's go back to 05. We're in 06 right now. I'm just going to say we're in 06, okay? And we are... date today. So it's the week of November 20, what is that, 26th? Let's just say that it is, okay? Oh, let's just say that my car just broke down. And what I'm going to do is my car just broke down and it's going to cost me $500 to fix it. Alright? So I'm going to come in here and I'm going to punch in my $500 bill that I just got for fixing my car. And then I'm going to go to the bottom and see what that did to me. Ooh, I got a problem. As a matter of fact, I know projecting out that the biggest problem I have is $398 going forward. So I need to find a way in the coming years, and you see this can create a real problem for somebody because there's several little negative numbers in here, of a way to find that $398 that I need to cover that expense. The monthly budgeting method, which I showed you last week, doesn't allow you to do that. You can't. You got your monthly budget. You know how much you spend. You spend an extra $500. Well, I guess I'll have to make it up along the way somewhere. But with this, you know exactly where the problem is and when it occurs. In this case, this person spent the extra $500 here, and their biggest problem is in the next 2 weeks. After that, the problem gradually decreases. You can see that. But it is a problem that needs to be fixed. So they would have to find that money somehow. Or not pay the bill, right? Which isn't really the way God wants us to deal with our finances. So I'm going to stop right there. Unlike other classes, I mean, there hasn't been much of any as far as the way of questions, but as far as how you do budgeting, that's how you do it. Collect your bills. You take the numbers and you plug them into a budget like this, see where you are, then you go back and you make changes. look, I've got a problem coming up in January. I know that. I'll figure out what changes I can make to make that problem go away. The other thing that I haven't even mentioned now, and I recommend this because it really, I told you in previous classes that I spend 15 minutes a week or so keeping my budget up to date. What I do is whenever I spend any money, I don't care if it's cash or credit card or whatever I spend money on, I come back to my budget that week and I fill in the number. For example, you know, in my budget right now, I have $60 a week. I drive a lot of miles. $60 a week for gasoline. Okay, if I spend $61.50, I come back to my budget that week. I just save my receipts is what I do. At the end of the week, I say, okay, $61.50, and I type in $61.50. If I spent, you know, a couple bucks on coffee that week, put in $2 for coffee. And what that does is keeps me up to date on exactly where I am with my finances. And I can see if I'm spending too much or if I'm starting to find a way to save more money, I can see that by watching what this bottom number is doing right here going forward. And I can look forward and see, well, I got a problem, or it doesn't look like I'm going to have a problem. Maybe I could save some more money. Maybe I could pay off my car loan early, things like that. You can make good decisions like that with this kind of budgeting, which you can't with other budgets. So all I wanted to do now for the last... what do we got, 8 minutes of class? I don't know if my clock is right. Does anybody have any questions? I just wanted to answer questions about budgeting. If anybody has any questions on what I did here, how I did it, we got 5 minutes. Any questions at all? No? With no questions, then we'll just... oh, Dan, you got a
try.
Yes. One of the things that's actually in this budget is there's money for car maintenance, like oil changes and things. And what I also recommend that you do, I try to do this, it doesn't always work because you don't have all the money that you'd like to have. I try to put money away, not just for the car that I'm paying now. I have a car loan, for example. My car loan will be paid off in another year. What I'm going to do is to keep making the payments to myself. I'm going to leave that in my budget so that when it's time to buy my next car, I got that cash and I can go buy my next car cash. Okay. So, yeah, and other people will budget maybe, I don't know, 50 bucks a month or $75 a month just for unforeseen things, you know, new brakes, whatever it is that you might need. There's a lot of that stuff that you can project. If you know how many miles you drive, you can figure things out, you know, guesstimates on, yeah, I know that I need new tires after 60,000 miles, and I know my tires, like for example, we were talking about that yesterday, my tires on my Durango are 150 bucks a piece. Well, it's going to cost me 600 bucks to get a new set of tires. Well, I don't just have 600 bucks laying around. I've got a budget for that. Figure out how I'm going to save the money for that, and then I'll go buy my tires. Rather than putting it on my credit card and figuring out later how I'm going to pay off that bill as it's running up 18% interest. Okay. So yeah, the answer is yeah, you budget anything you can think of in your life that you know is coming as an expense budget for. Keeps you from spending money on things that, you know, oh, let's get the kids in there. I've been working on my wife about, I like a video game for my kids for Christmas. She doesn't want me to get it because I can't afford it. Okay. Because I can't show her in the budget where it fits. It doesn't fit. So I can't. Rather than saying, oh, well, if I don't fix my car, I can afford it. Well, that's not a realistic decision, is it? Okay, any other questions? Rachel? Buying a new car or a used car? Okay, if you get a loan? Yeah, that depends on your interest rate, actually. Oh, well, if you have a car loan, that's true. I think I had mentioned that in a previous class. I don't know, maybe that's what you're referring to, Bill. Some car loans, some loans, I mentioned that maybe in the context of mortgages, you can't pay off early. They won't allow you to do that. It's actually in the contract that there's a penalty if you pay it off early. So you have to read the contract and make sure that's not in there. I believe that unless you have very low interest, one of the examples is car financiers, for example, for a couple of years there, were giving out 0% financing on cars. Hey, use somebody else's money. That's great. If they want to give you a free loan, doesn't cost you any interest, pay off the car as you will. If you have a high interest rate loan, pay that off as fast as you can, because you're just bleeding. Money's just going out that you don't really need to spend. That answers your question. Anybody else? Bill? You have to. You don't have a choice. Now, what I would do is I would take, maybe you have records for previous years. And I realize every year is different. But what you can do is, as a basis for starting a budget, is go back to previous years and say, okay, this year I made this much, I don't know, you know, in this month or in that month. And then divide it up so that it seems realistic. Like your business, for example, is probably very busy in the summer and not in the winter. Right? So you might even not have much of any income in the winter. So I would project from previous years what you'd expect it to be ballpark. And then do what I'm telling you, which is go back as you go through that year then. You projected to have a few thousand dollars come in this month or this week, whatever however you put it in there. And it turns out to be only 1,000. Well, put it in there. And you're going to see what that does to you going forward. So then you would know, well, look, I'm going to have to do something before October where I'm really going to have a problem. I'm going to have to go out and get some more business. It's harder, certainly, for people that own their own businesses because you don't have, like myself, I have a regular paycheck. I know what it's going to be. It's definitely easier to budget, but you can still do it. Anybody else? All right, I think time's up anyway. Next week, we're going to move on to, I'm just going to talk specifically about credit cards, maybe some things you do if you don't know about credit cards. And then the last class will just be a very basic thing about savings and investments, which is just a natural follow-up to this how to get out of debt class. All right. Thank you. I'll tell you what, let's end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that that this would be something that would be useful to all that were here to listen this morning. Lord, I pray that if you would use me in this way, Lord, that I might be helpful in counseling with anyone that has further questions. Lord, I just ask that you would help each one of us to learn to honor you with our finances, Lord, and that you would help us to make wise decisions, Lord, and to get out of debt, and Lord, just to be what we should be in our financial lives, Lord, and the rest of our lives, certainly, but certainly in the context of this class, Lord. We ask that you would just help us with our finances, help us to be good stewards of that which you've blessed us with, Lord. Now we pray for the service to follow, and just pray that, Lord, you would speak to us through pastor's preaching, Lord, and Lord, through the word. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.